Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I want you to be able to see a false teacher, look them directly in the face, and go, "That's not right." Because you guys are prepared. Because you guys don't have some of the flaws that they had, these early Jewish Christians, which allowed them to give into the false teaching because they didn't have any discernment.
Whether we've walked with Christ for a few months or several years, hopefully we have grown spiritually from that first moment we were saved. The more we read and study God's Word and learn how to listen for His voice, the more we will stand firmly in the truth when winds of false doctrine blow by. With Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, here's Robert Furrow. Please stay with us.
There is great value in a friend who will tell you the cold, hard truth. If you have an acquaintance, someone that doesn't know you that well, and they try to tell you the cold, hard truth about where you are, there's not always great value in that because you don't listen so much to them. I believe that if someone is going to speak into your life something that is hard to hear, something that you need to hear, something that you're in error in and you need to straighten it out, that you have to earn the right to speak into someone's life. You've got to know them. You've got to get to know them. You've got to love them. You've got to have a relationship with them in order to speak those things into their lives. And that's what we find here in the book of Hebrews at the end of chapter 5. We find the writer of the book, which I believe to be Paul, is going to give them the cold, hard truth about where they are. He doesn't start off by flattering them. Have you ever done that, or you ever noticed people do that? Before they give them the cold, hard truth, you're great, you're awesome, really love you, and you're just done awesome and incredible. Now you're awful in this. See, you try to set them up so they feel good, so they don't feel so bad when you absolutely let them have it. Sometimes that is manipulation, by the way, and flattery is often used for manipulation. Paul doesn't flatter them in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't say, "Listen, you Jewish Christians here in this, you guys are great, you guys." In fact, I got a couple passages on flattery. The Bible says, "A flattering tongue works ruin." What we're going to learn is that when a person just flatters you, person just always telling you how great you are and how awesome you are and how great you are, they're really out for something, okay? That's the truth. It says, "A flattering tongue works ruin." And again, the man who flatters his friend is setting a net to stumble him. The person that all they do is talk about, you know, how great you are, all this flattery, all they're doing is stumbling you. And I love Proverbs 29, which says, "He who flatters and speaks graciously, don't believe him." Just don't believe, you know, what he's telling you. He's giving you all this stuff about how great and how awesome you are, that you're all that. You're not all that. Don't believe him. And then in Proverbs 27:6, it says, "The wounds of a friend are faithful, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." These are hard words, but they are the wounds of a friend. It's a man who is heartbroken over these first century Jewish Christians that have gone back into religiosity, that have gone back into legalism. They had followed Christ. They had committed their lives to Him. They had been born again. They had been filled with the Spirit. But some of the very first false teachers to come on the scene, when Jesus was asked about the last days and what they would be like by His disciples on the Mount of Olives, do you remember the first thing Jesus said when He began to talk about the last days? He said, "In the last days, deceivers will abound." The Bible also says in 1 and 2 Timothy that the last days will be full of false teachers, and that men are going to heap up for themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. We live in a day where there are many false teachers. If they struggled with false teachers, and some of the very first false teachers to come on the scene were the Judaizers and the Gnostics. The Gnostics believed that the physical realm didn't really matter. You could sin all you wanted to sin because what really mattered was spiritual, okay? The descendants of the Gnostics are still with us today, and they were very effective in the early church. They kind of swept through the early church, and they persuaded many people to follow them, and the Judaizers. They especially worked on those who were Jewish. You have to get circumcised. You've got to keep the dietary laws. You've got to keep the Sabbath laws. You've got to go to the temple. Because remember, Jesus was crucified in 32-33 A.D., the temple was destroyed in 66 A.D. So there was this 32, 33, 34-year period where the temple existed, during the early days of the church. And there was a temptation by early Jewish Christians, and most Christians in Jerusalem were Jewish in the beginning. The temptation was to go back to that temple, to say, we need those sacrifices again. But Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross. But they, in essence, they slapped Jesus in the face by saying, I need to give this lamb because that's not enough. What he did on the cross wasn't enough, so I need to go back to the high priest. Jesus as a high priest isn't enough, so I have to go back to the earthly high priest. I've got to go back to the temple. I've got to begin to do these temple rituals again. And Paul is heartbroken that they've given in to the false teachers. These are the first false teachers that have come on the scene in the church, and a great number of people were persuaded by them. And I tell you what, it was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen in the church. Winds of doctrine have blown through the church. False teachers have abounded over the centuries, over the millennium, since the church has existed. And people always seem to accept them. There are always those who lack discernment, who enter into the things that they say, who receive what they say. And I don't want that to be you. I want you to be able to see a false teacher, look them directly in the face, and go, that's not right. Because you guys are prepared. Because you guys don't have some of the flaws that they had, these early Jewish Christians, which allowed them to give into the false teaching because they didn't have any discernment. And so in this text, Paul gives them five cold, hard truths. They're not easy for them to hear. In essence, he calls them a bunch of babies. He really gets on them now, all right? He's introduced Melchizedek. He said, Jesus is not a high priest according to the order of Levi, of Aaron, which is a temporary order, but he's a high priest by the order of Melchizedek. And he brings up this mysterious person that walked onto the pages of Genesis, and Abraham tithed money to Melchizedek. He was called the King of Jerusalem and the Prince of Peace. And then he walked off the pages of Scripture, and we don't know a whole lot about him. Paul's going to say more about him. And in verse 10, he said, listen, I want to say a lot to you about Melchizedek and that Jesus is a pre-high priest according to this order. And then in verse 11, this is where we start, he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain. Melchizedek's not easy to grasp, since you have become dull of hearing. And so now Paul, the floodgates kind of open up. And Paul starts off by telling them, because you guys are not listening. Have you ever had that said to you? Is there anybody here that hasn't had that said to you one time or another? You're not listening to me. You ever said that to your teenager? You just don't listen. You ever had your teenager say to you, you don't listen to me. We can become dull of hearing. We can hear the noise, but not receive what's being said. And it's worth us asking, have we become dull of hearing? Now, this happened after the fact for them. I'm taking it. That they had received what these false teachers had said. They had made some changes in their life. They had begun to go back to Sabbath and gone back to sacrifices and gone back to the temple and back to ceremonial washings and back to all of these things, some of which are talked about here later on in the book of Hebrews. And when Paul or others said, listen, you guys are making a mistake. You are insulting the work of Jesus upon the cross by going back to these things, they had become dull of hearing. No, we're not. No, we're not. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you. And here's the thing. If God needed to speak to you today, would you hear him? Have you become dull of hearing? Jesus was fond of saying in his teachings, if you have ears, then hear. Do you have ears? Little ear check. You got ears? Then hear what's being said to the seven churches in Revelation. Seven letters are written there in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. To every letter it says, to those who have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The same idea. You've got to listen up. You've got to pay attention. Do you believe that God has things he wants to say to you? Is there anybody in here who would say, not me. I got it all covered. God doesn't need to say anything to me. I got it all figured out. See, when we put it that way, all of a sudden we realize, you know what? I need to hear from God. I need to be one that has ears that are open to him. I need to be receiving what he has to say. David had that heart. The psalmist had that heart. David said at one point, Lord, reveal to me my hidden faults that have dominion over me. He knew that there were hidden faults in him that he didn't even know that were there that have dominion over his life. You may think everything is right between you and God, but God may have some very specific things that he wants to speak to you about. And have you become dull of hearing? If God wanted to communicate those things to you, how would he do it? Are you listening to him? Are you praying? Are you seeking him? Or have you become dull of hearing? In another place, the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, and see if there's any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The person that's dull of hearing is the person who says, "I don't have any wickedness in here. I don't have any problem. I'm completely and 100% right on." No, you're not. You are just a deluded individual. None of us are. None of us ever achieved. Paul said that. Paul says, "I have not arrived." None of us have arrived. So we open up our hearts and we say, "Lord, I realize that if I'm not listening to you, if I'm not taking direction from you, if I'm not growing, if you're not revealing to me my hidden faults, if you're not searching my heart and revealing my wickedness, then I'm open and prone to false doctrine. Then I could be an individual that would end up walking away from the truth and believing a lie." And that is the last thing that we want to do. We want to follow the truth. We want to know what that truth is. And so we want to listen to what is being said. So his first cold, hard truth is, you guys are dull of hearing. You need to listen up. The second comes along in verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God." I don't know how long these Jewish, early Jewish Christians that he's writing to that had believed these false doctrines from these Judaizers, I don't know how long they'd been Christians. It's possible some of them could have been Christians for that whole 33 years. 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he gave a message to thousands of Jewish Christians, many of them from all around the world, and 3,000 were baptized that day. 3,000 came into the family of God. And from there, the gospel spread. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2:42 that they preached the gospel, they continued in communion, fellowship, and prayer, and God added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the church continued to grow right after the first few years of Jesus resurrecting from the dead and establishing the church through the day of Pentecost. Many of these guys probably were still there. Some of them were 30 years old. And by then, they should have been teachers. They should have been being used by God. Some of them, we assume, were just a few years old in the Lord. 2, 3, 4 years old in the Lord. Tell me, how long does it take for someone to mature spiritually? If I were to ask that question of you physically, how long does it take for you to mature physically? You would say, well, some would, you know, if you're a kid here, you're in your 15, 16, 17 years, you're going to say 18 years. If you're 35 or 40 years old, you're going to say 30 years, right? If you're 80 years old, you're going to say, I don't know, somewhere in your 50s or 60s, it's when you finally grow up, right? So a lot of things are perspective, okay? And there is a lot of growing up that everybody has to do. But I'm just going to say this, kind of from my perspective, I think that someone can mature in the Lord going from the place where they first invite Jesus into their life and are born again. And you must be born again, by the way. No one will enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. And when you're born again, you're an infant. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in being a baby when you're a baby. I have a little grandson, and I don't ever look at him and go, "You baby, big baby." I never do that with him because he's a baby. There's no shame in that. If you first come to Christ, listen, grow slow. Make a good foundation. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to learn everything that's out there. You don't have to be a know-it-all. I think that's one of the things that young Christians fall into. I've got to know it all. I've got to have all the... No, you don't. Just grow. Just learn. Just take your time. Building a foundation in a building takes some of the longest time that there is, and allow that to happen. I think that can happen within a few years, and then you can begin to build more of the good, solid principles that are on it. Paul was upset with them because they had had all of these years that had passed and they had wasted that time. In other places, Paul says, redeem the time because the days are short. Before we know it, it'll be time for us to go into the presence of God. Redeem the days that you have. Grow up, mature in the Lord. Learn those things, not the basic elements, the basic principles of how you're born again. They were believing that you return to sacrifices they were believing you do that to be saved. Paul was like, we got to go back to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life." That's the most common verse there is out there. It's the verse most people know. And the principle there is the very one they violated. They were saying, whoever joins the temple, whoever gives sacrifices, whoever is circumcised, whoever goes through the ceremonies in the temple, they have eternal life. the very basic principles of salvation, which it is by faith through grace. It's not of any work you can do. Therefore, you can't boast. You can't get any more basic than that. Every Christian here, whether a day old or 20 years old or 30 years old in the Lord, ought to know that. So that when someone comes along and says, listen, you've got to go to church on Saturday in order to be saved. You've got to be baptized by our group of people in order to be saved. Or you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. Or you've got to speak in tongues in order to be saved. Every person in here should be able to immediately go, wrong. Because the very basic element of the principles is salvation by faith. It's the very thing they had violated. That must have been really frustrating to Paul. You can't get anything that's any simpler than how do you enter the kingdom of God? John 1, 20-something says, if you receive him, he gives you the power to become a child to any who believe on his name. It's by believing and receiving. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will not die. And even if you do die, you shall live. If, what did he say? You believe in me. These are the very basic principles that they had violated, and it was frustrating. So if we can get that solid foundation, if we can learn those very basic principles, then you can go on to be the person God wants to use. Because God has a call on all of our lives. We are the salt and we are the light of the earth. God has chosen you to be an ambassador for him. Every person in this room, not me, I equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I get to go alongside of you shoulder to shoulder. But you realize you guys are the ones that are being equipped to do the work. My job as a pastor is to see you guys equipped, and then like a salt shaker, you're shaken out into this world, and you shine as lights, and people end up coming to Christ because of the work that you do as ministers. Okay, so they had these basic principles. They needed someone to teach them again. Some of us are there. Some of us don't really know those basic principles, and we need to learn them. We've got to get them, do what we've got to do. We really have no excuses. We have more access to good, solid Bible teaching today than at any other time in history. Now, he goes on and gives them the third cold, hard truth there at the end of verse 12. He says, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. He says, you guys, you're sitting around drinking milk because I got to come back and give you milk again. You guys are mature. It's like if you ever felt like your husband is immature, you ever felt like setting him up a table of baby food, little carrots and peas and applesauce. He comes home and says, what's for dinner? Well, we got your baby food set up because you're a baby. Well, that's the way Paul felt. You guys need milk again. I ought to be giving you meat. I ought to be talking to you about Melchizedek. Okay, that's meat, all right? I want to be able to really get into this, but you guys aren't going to be able to chew this stuff up because I've got to go back to the very basic principles. Jesus died so you could have eternal life. He paid the price so you don't have to. There's nothing bad, wrong about that teaching. It's just basic. It's just the basics. It's what we need to know and understand. It's what we need to have, and it is the milk of the Word of God. Now, if you're a new Christian, then enjoy that milk. It's okay for you. If you first come to Christ, take the milk of the Word, learn these things, learn them well, but know that you need to come to the place of meat. You need to get to the place where you're receiving the things, the deep things of the Word of God. And this is where false teachers get you, because they get to an area where it's more meaty and they twist and they manipulate, and then people don't really have a good discernment or understanding of what's being said there. Because they haven't really gotten into the meat of the Word of God at all. You've got maybe have the basics down. You're getting milk all the time, but you don't have the good, solid aspects of the Word of God down. And so when someone starts to tell you something, you go, oh, that's interesting. I'm under a generational curse? Really? Wow. Well, I always knew there was something. Oh, I'm possessed by a demon? Oh, I always knew there was something that was wrong. And I'll tell you what, I think we hear this stuff so often that we go, oh, man, no one's going to believe. They do. People fall into this stuff. People start going, oh, yeah, I do need that. Oh, if I give to that television evangelist, then I'm going to get rich? Really? He's got a hundredfold blessing in there. And so if I give to him, then I'm going to, and Christians do it. That's the reason they're out there. That's the reason they're doing it. Because Christians are like, wow, I never heard. Pastor Robert never told me that. I'm going to go ahead and give them some money because I know then I'm going to get rich if I give them money. And because we haven't taken in the meat of the Word of God, and Paul is, he's frustrated because he's got to go back to the milk. And so the third cold hard truth was, you guys need milk again and not solid food. Then the fourth is in verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. When we mature, we learn God's word, we are skilled in the word of God. What is being skilled in God's word? It's when a topic comes up and you are not now going to give your opinion. You are now going to give what the Bible says. I love Pastor Chuck Smith, Bible and Answer program, every day called The Pastor's Perspective. You can look that up, by the way. You just look up Pastor's Perspective and you can go and you can listen to it. It's a good way to learn and grow. It's something that you can add to just the questions people call in with and just hear how he answers it. And I'm going to tell you how Pastor Chuck answers the questions. He's got a lot of experience, okay? He's got a lot of opinions. If you sit down and talk with him and say, can you give me your opinion about this? What do you think this says? It's hard for him not to do this. Somebody calls up in the Bible and they ask him a question. And he goes, somebody maybe calls up and says, do you think that when you die, you sleep? Or do you think you go directly into the presence of God? Okay, that could be a question that someone calls up and asks. Here's how Pastor Chuck answers it. A little bit of a pause, because he always does, okay? Then he goes, well, the Bible says that when Jesus was on the cross, that he said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So, and that's what he does. Doesn't give you his opinion. He goes right to the Bible and he gives you quotes from the Bible. And then he'll go from that place. And then in Philippians, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And he'll go on to another one. And he'll go to another place. So that, see, Pastor Chuck is skilled in the word of righteousness. He's not giving a bunch of opinions. He's not saying, well, I'll tell you what I think. He goes right to the Bible. This is what the Bible says, and this is what. And trust me, go listen to it. Go listen to Pastor's Perspective, and that's what he does every time. He goes back to what the Bible says to be able to do it. And I love that. That's being skilled in the Word of God. Now, skilled is different than gifted and talented. There are those of you here that are talented in many areas. Some of you, and then there's the rest of us, okay? We don't have any talent at all. Actually, I'm fairly artistic. I could draw, kind of a pretty good eye for things. And my grades when I was in junior high were all incompletes. It was back in the days when they tried to not give people Fs because they thought it hurt our self-esteem. And so they gave you completes and incompletes. You guys remember that? I was all incompletes except for art and PE. And I had, because all you had to do was show up for PE. They couldn't judge you because you're not athletic like I was. So they gave you a complete if you were there. So I got all incompletes and everything else except for art and PE. And I got completes on those. And when we did get grades, I always got A's in art. My son, my 18-year-old, has a talent in music. He plays piano, bass, guitar, ukulele, violin. And he picks them up, messes with them a little bit, and can play them. Except for the violin, he's had to work a little bit harder at the violin. It's been a little bit more difficult for him. But he's talented in that. A talent is when something that you just, you're bent towards it. And I've always tried to tell my children, listen, when you're going to do things in life, do things that you're talented in. Find something you're good at and then really center around that. Don't find something you're not good at. It was like when I tried to learn to play the guitar. To this day, I can play the chords. But when I do, people say, please give me the ticket. Please stop. Because I'm not talented musically. Now, God uses our talents and praise God for that. He uses our talents and we want to give our talents to him, and talents are given by God. And so we say, Lord, take our talents and use it. But when God gifts us by the Holy Spirit, he often gifts us in our weaknesses, not in our talents.
We pray that the Lord is speaking to you in a personal way here at Practical Christian Living. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful of social distancing guidelines. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service online at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson and Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9TV. May we walk worthy while we wait for the return of our Savior. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.